entrepreneurs. My name is Anya de Klerk. Welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today I've got a very passionate guest in studio. He will introduce him shortly. He refers to himself as a digital coach. So hang on to your seat, there's a few things to be learned. Sure. Welcome to studio, please introduce yourself.
Thanks so much for hosting me, Anya. My name is Mpumelelo Lembede, and as you said, I'm a digital coach. I work with small business owners, and I help them understand the need for having a digital presence for their businesses online. And, you know, the best part about it is that I get to combine both of my passions, which is working with small business owners mm-hmm. and at the same time with digital marketing. A lot of small business owners, especially within my region in South Africa, are still very unaware of the power of using the internet to actually to grow their businesses. And there's nothing nicer for me than actually sitting down with the business owner and actually explaining to him, hey, dude, don't be afraid of this. The internet is a very powerful tool. And just by using that, you'll be able to grow your business, be able to find new customers, be able to reach areas that you didn't even know existed. And it's quite fun for me to actually just spread some of my knowledge. And hopefully today, I'll be able to do exactly the same.
Okay, give us a fun fact, because I know the audience would like to know something fun about you.
Okay, luckily the desk is in the way, so you won't be able to see, but I'm a big beer enthusiast. I love my craft beer, I love my locally produced beer, and as well as international beer. So I actually go out and source as many beers as possible, drink as many beers as possible as well. But that's one of my passions outside of digital marketing.
Well, most interesting, and you'll see sure. he's got over 9 years experience in the digital marketing space, sure. and we can see that he's even come from the South African brewery, so I'm sure.
Which explains my passion for the beer, of course.
Which explains your passion.
That's
so
great, yes.
We know, so recently I've been in a few mentoring sessions with nice. Entrepreneurs, and we've seen that some come out of family business or very old school, and they're very wealthy businesses, yes. yet you'll ask them, so what is your webpage? And they'll say, we don't have one. Mm. And that's the one thing I don't get to understand. We are promoting digital marketing, but we sure. still see that a number of SMEs and successful businesses don't have a digital footprint. So in order to survive these days in the global businesses, there's this fact that says businesses that have a digital footprint create jobs twice as fast and they grow twice as fast compared to other businesses. Sure. So these are some of the recent facts. So this is a fact and an intro to what we say. But please give us your version of why should SMEs be online?
Of course. What you've just said, exactly. I agree with the 100%. Most of the guys that I speak with, that are the business owners that I interact with, most of them don't even have a web page, a Facebook page, or anything like that. They're literally running the business using traditional media, which is fine. I understand most people aren't aware of what's out there. And as a small business, which is where I'm coming from and the guys that I'm working with, it's important for you to take advantage of other channels that other bigger traditional companies are using. You can't advertise on TV, it's probably too expensive. You can't advertise on radio, you might not be getting the reach. So maybe look at digital, which is cheaper, or let me not say cheaper, but inexpensive, and something that you also utilize as a person. So you understand how Facebook works, you understand how Twitter works. Why don't you just convert that and put it into your business and actually use that as a means for you to promote and market your business. So from just using, from what I've learned and myself and what I've seen, and I usually take my guys through, the importance of having a web page or having a Facebook or even a digital footprint, as you put it, are the following, which I'll just take you through them right now. The first and quite important one is that your business is open 24/7. And what a lot of people restrict them, especially small business owners, some of us are running businesses part-time while we work. Some of us are actually, this is it, we've put everything, all our eggs in one basket, but yet we're still working 9 to 5 because you still have that mentality of an employee. So I am working, I want to buy your services, but I'm only available to shop after work, 6 p.m. What do? I can't get a hold of you because your office is closed or your store is closed. But if you have a website or a Facebook page, and if I do my research, I can find you online, even after hours. I can have the conversation with you. And if your website is well put together and it looks awesome, I can also make purchases online regarding that I have all the tools required on the website. So that's the first and most important thing is that you kind of hear people whenever they talk about, which the part of the internet which I don't like, make money while you sleep. The only way and the honest way for you to make money while you're sleeping is if you have a website, your office hours are closed, but yet you can still make purchases online. That is the only and true way. Every other way is a scam. I'll tell you right now. And so just moving on to the second one, which is quite important, is improving your company image. When you set up a small business, as a small business owner, you're starting out, not that many people will know who you are. And if you're not online, how are you going to tell people, what does your business do, what I've done? If I've got great clients and I'm providing awesome service and I can't tell people about it, you need to push that online. That is how you create a company image. That's how people can know and actually trust you. If I've bought something from you, Anya, and you run a business, and I share on your Facebook page, wow, service was awesome, product was really cool, I'm going to put it out there. The next person who comes on and tries and looks on your social media accounts and sees that, or thinking, well, judging from that, I can actually probably trust them. I'll go through to the websites and find out. And that's how you build your company a bit of image.
So just on that, sure. We keep referring to the company versus the individual. What is your view on, because I know for sure we need the digital footprint, yes. And often we have a business footprint and we have a personal footprint.
That's true. Yeah.
What is your view on separating or having one of those?
So I have a strict view. I actually had a conversation about this with a friend of mine who works in agriculture. Mm. And he was saying he runs his own business, but yet his business does not have an identity. And he says, well, it's agricultural. It's not really as, if I use the term, sexy as all the other businesses for social media. Mm. I'm like, that's not true. If you are the business, so he's the only employee, he's a solo entrepreneur, so he runs the business by himself. And I explained to him that, look, if you're running the business and you are the face of the business and people speak to you directly, that's perfect. You know, have your LinkedIn account, because it's usually business-to-business transactions, and you be the person that people direct through. And then while you're speaking to people, interacting and engaging with them, be like, hey, by the way, I've actually got an agricultural business. And that's how you put the business through. So you can separate the two and have a personal and a business, mm-hmm. but it just depends on who you're speaking to and how you're speaking to those people, because your personality might be bigger than your brand. And then you might start pushing your personality first and then leading to the brand second. I personally use my business as my front, and I actually hide away in the background.
In the background. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that entrepreneur, that is completely up to you. How do you do it? And then there are various views on it, but thanks for sharing yours.
Sure.
So what would you say? What are some of the other reasons why we might?
So other reasons, just to move on, is customer support.
Very important,
It is. And the reason why that is because if you're only using traditional means of communicating to your customers, you only got one way, which is usually the telephone or walk-in. But once your business is online, now you open different channels. So if I can't get a hold of you, as I used the example earlier on, because I only finish work after 6, and I can't call you because your office is closed, I can send you an email because now you have an email address because your business is online, or I can go to your Facebook page or whatever social account that you might be on. I can put up an inquiry on there. Or if you've got a website, a really cool smart website, I can go onto it, put an inquiry through there, get a form, and the next time I get an email on my phone saying, hey, we saw your problem and we'll be able to assist you. As you said, customer service is very important. Yep. And if I can reach you in multiple ways as a customer, trust me, I'll be extremely happy about that.
Sure.
Sure. The other thing, while sticking with the whole point of reach or online, is that when you work with only one method of marketing your business, which is traditional media, again, I'll keep going back to traditional media because I'm trying to burst the two so you can see the benefits of it. If you keep using traditional media, well, then you're only going to speak to a certain type of clients. And I say this to most business owners who will say to me, but why do I have to have a Facebook page? Why do I have to have a website? And I'll be like, well, think about all the people that are online that you're not speaking to. And you're missing out on a completely new customer base that might be out there looking for your business. Well, chances are they are out there looking for your business and your services. But yet you're not speaking to them just because you still stick into the traditional means of marketing, which is taking you a bit back. And then moving to the next one is the global markets. Well, the internet doesn't have any borders, and you're not restricted by borders. As my personal life, I've worked with countries in North America, I've worked with countries in Ghana, Nigeria, Australia, and Northern Europe, or from sitting within my region in South Africa.
Mm.
Having never left, a couple of Skype calls here and there, selling, buying and selling products in territories that I've personally never been to myself, and are able to reach out to people. So if you're a business owner and an entrepreneur that's very hungry, if it's working for you in your region, maybe it will work in another region. And if someone from outside of your own territory is looking for your products, personally, I can't think of another way that they can find your business unless if your business is online. They can't call you because they don't know your details. They can't pick up the phone book because you're not in their phone book. Exactly. So they have to search for you digitally in order to find you. So it's very important to open up your mind and not just look at your own border, but look at other people that might be looking for your products outside of your country.
Very, very good point.
Sure.
Okay, I'm starting to get convinced.
I'm glad to hear it, but we're not even halfway done, so there's still more coming. The other thing that I'll speak to when it regards to small business owners is when you're running a small business, your budget is normally limited, and if you don't have any analytics behind your business, you're doomed to fail. You know, it's very important to know where your customers coming from, how much are they buying, how long does it take for them to actually make a purchase. What are they like? Do they actually care about the stuff that you're promoting with them? But in order for you to do that, you need to track that. Again, if I use traditional media as an example, I'm not really sure how you can get metrics or analytics to track flyers or to track a newspaper advertising, because you can't actually see how many people saw that ad and walked into your site, unless if you use things like codes or anything like that, which is a lot of hassle. But all forms of digital marketing and platforms have some analytics behind it. If you're using social media, all social media accounts have analytics. Your websites, if you have Google Analytics, you can actually track and see every customer journey. You can see where the guys are coming from, how long they're on the website, what are the conversions like, which makes it easier for an entrepreneur to then understand not only their marketing, but also their own business. What a pleasure, 2 for 1. You're actually using a free platform to educate you a bit more about your own business.
That is such a good point, because when you started saying that, I think traditional media, you'd be able to track all your marketing activities, post the activities
exactly.
and interventions, and you could, if you had a big bloop or a boo-boo, you would never be able to rectify it on the spot like you'd be able to do with a digital footprint or a campaign. So tracking and fixing and implementing can
sure.
happen on the spot. So
That's actually quite true, and it's real time. So
exactly.
you can know if you start a campaign today, you'll know in 2 to 3 days, okay, cool, that's not working.
Yeah.
I need to do something. I need to change. Maybe the communication is not working, or maybe the end of the conversion is not right. So you can make changes instantly. And that optimization, the element to be able to optimize, is extremely important. Especially, again, as a small business owner like myself, I understand that I'm not going to waste my budget too much. I'm going to be tight-fisted so that I know, okay, I need to make changes now because it's actually not converting.
Good point.
That's true. So moving on to the next point, almost done, so don't stress. It's a targeted customer base. Again, because of the tracking, now I can understand the demographics. Okay, I know the guy's age. I know where they're coming from. I know what, are they using desktop? Are they using mobile? So from that, I can now start designing a package that actually suits my customer. Because I know them and understand exactly what they're looking for, I can start sending out the information that corresponds to them. It makes it much better if the information that I'm sending out relates to mobile, if all my people are on mobile.
Yes, and even like these days, if we know our exact customer base, for example, if we're speaking to millennials, we know in
sure.
what language to speak to them, we know what tone and manner to use, et cetera,
et
cetera. So that is probably the most valuable point out of all of them for myself.
that's actually quite true, because the one conversation that I usually have with most of business owners is that how well do you actually know your customers? And you can't really sell something to someone that you don't know. I'm selling you something that's blue, but actually you might want something that's green. I would never know that unless if I have a conversation with you. By using the analytics on digital, I'll be able to understand almost everything that relates to you. I'll take you through the reason how the tracking works and the analytics a bit later, but I'll be able to show you exactly how you utilize those tools to assess you when you're running a marketing campaign. The last and final point on this is that your competition is online. Fine. You might choose not to go online because I'm telling you, but your competition is there. And as time goes on, you will start losing market share. Your competition is the biggest person stopping you from your business becoming successful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to listen to me, granted, but if you find that your competition is online, at least try and match them and be online as well and target the same customer base that they're looking at. And it's extremely important. And just sticking with the competition, I'm actually going to move on to assist on how you you can run a competition and a competitor analysis online.
Okay, so you're really going to show us how to do this online?
Yes.
Okay, this is amazing. We'd love to hear about this. So obviously, if one does this, you can get to outmove or outperform them if you're quick enough to analyze and understand what your competitors are doing, right?
That's correct. So the best parts about having digital tools and marketing tools online is that you can also spy on your competition. Now, if you're running, or let's say you're an entrepreneur, you haven't really started your business, it's still in the idea space or startup, but you want to push it forward. But yet you don't even know what the competition is like out there or what products are they pushing. Maybe your idea is perfect and brilliant, but yet you don't even know if somebody already has it. By using online tools, now this is very important for a business owner to understand. You need to know your competitor as much as you know your business, because those are the people that are actually, as I'm saying, preventing your business to grow. As myself personally, as a business owner, if I'm in the similar space with somebody else, there are 10 customers in the market, 5 of them are buying from me and 5 of them are buying from my competitor. In my head, I'm not happy with that. I'm thinking, why are those 5 that he's got not coming to me? Mm-hmm. So I need to find out from him exactly why are those people actually going to him instead of coming to me? Because I want all 10. I want the whole pie to myself. And by using digital tools and being smart about it, I'll actually just take you through now the 5 very important points and how digital can actually help you answer a competitor analysis. So the first one, and quite important, and I would probably say the easiest one, is just go to Google. So if I'm running a marketing agency, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out, okay, who are the guys in my competition? Why don't you just Google marketing agency in Cape Town? And all the information that comes out from there is the guys that you will then see. Okay, wait a minute. So the top 10 or the top 5 guys that are there, that's your competition. By just using something as simple as a search engine, you'll be able to find who are the guys playing in your space.
So to add to that, so Google would be one way. So
yes.
Recently, there was this whole conversation about using hashtags to find out who your competitors is. Could you give us some info on that, how to do that, and what the purpose of a hashtag,
Cool. Just
for those who might not know?
Okay, cool. So hashtags are, I think, one of the coolest trends at the moment. It's usually used within social media as a means of finding out, the topics. The most trending topics usually are linked to hashtags. And as myself personally, so if I'm trying, again, if I link it to competitor analysis, if I'm trying to find out what's happening in my industry, I'll probably search something like digital marketing or digital coaching, put a hashtag on that, and then those results will probably show me guys who are having a conversation about digital coaching, and also show me other coaches out there that are also talking about digital coaching. So I can actually see who are my competitors, and on social media, how are they actually communicating with their community as well. Also gives me an opportunity to speak to some of their customers and be like, hey, I see that you responded to this guy. Are you interested in digital coaching? So it's also a nice way for you to get involved in the conversation and engage with other people in a similar community to you.
And for the others, especially those trendsetters who are always looking for their competition to see
<That's true. laughs>
that you are an upcoming thought leader on the topic.
Sure.
Okay.
That's true. The one funny thing about that when it comes to hashtag is that most people even say the word hashtag in a conversation. And the funniest part about that to me, it's like when I hear someone say hashtag, I just automatically just think of the symbol and I think, but I can't even search that. What does that actually mean? But it's quite funny how a marketing term like that has actually moved and become part of the normal dialogue. And I'm glad you raised it up because it is quite important when you are searching something out there. It's also very useful as a business owner for you to interact with certain conversations.
Yeah.
I say this to with a bit of caution as well. A lot of business owners tend to see what's the trending topic of the day. Let's say the trending topic for today is MVA, hashtag MVA. I go into my Twitter account, I see that MVA is the number one trending topic. So I'm thinking, okay, cool. The nicest way for me to actually get involved in this conversation is to put something relating to my business and just put hashtag MVA. A few years ago, that would have worked. But in this day and age, it is very dangerous because customers or users can actually see right through that. So, okay, cool. This guy is only riding the wave because people are searching to see what are people talking about relating to MVA.
Yeah, so and I also thought that one of the key learnings that came from the hashtag use is whenever you actually then go on your hashtag and you make a comment, your competitors are going to look at how meaningful your conversations
exactly.
were. So make sure that whenever you do something or post something that it's meaningful.
Exactly, 100%. It needs to look genuine and authentic at the same time. As you do when you're using social media personally, a lot of guys who use social media are very smart about us. Mm-hmm. Some people are using social media as a form of business at the moment, where they grow these large accounts, where they promote businesses. I mean, they call influencers, and they will promote other people's businesses using social media. But they're smart. They know when to get in, when to get out, when to communicate. So you, if you're a business owner, also just do your research a bit and actually understand when to speak, when not to speak. Some of the topics might become backlash for you. You might get a negative response. So maybe try and stay away from things like, you know, political, religion, and things like that. And try and focus on conversations that are actually more relaxed. As the word says, social, where you can have a social conversation. And please make sure that it links to your brand at the end of the day, because that's extremely important as well.
Thanks for that tip.
Sure. So moving on to the next point. Once you've ran and Googled the guys that are online and you actually start seeing them, you then need to understand, are they running an online campaign? So it's one thing speaking to someone. It's one thing searching for someone and actually seeing their websites and seeing exactly what's happening. But it's another thing also then knowing who are the big players. The big players in your industry are the guys that are actually advertising online. These are the guys that are taking cash out and actually have a budget to advertise online. These are the guys that you need to start following yourself, okay, so that you can understand. The normal places where guys normally advertise are on social media. They would advertise on apps. They will also advertise on search engines. As you can see on the screen right now, the first example there you can see it is on Google. As an advertiser, you would bid on keywords. I'll go in a bit later on part two of our discussion on how that works. But when you search for a specific keyword, again, if I use an example as I used earlier on of a marketing agency in Cape Town as an example, if you bid on words on those keywords, marketing agency in Cape Town, your ad would appear as the first 3 to 4 areas in the Google search.
Okay.
So as you can see there, it says Google AdWords relating to my search. Those are adverts. Those are guys that have bid and put money down and have budgets to ensure that they appear higher than everybody else. There's a bit of science behind it, not too hectic, but it requires a bit of thought process and also understanding. But I'll take you through that a bit later on. Other areas, which is also extremely important, is when you go to industry-related websites. Again,
yes,
if I use marketing agencies as an example, and you go to a large website that usually ranks marketing agencies. So you search for a keyword, marketing agency in Cape Town. You'll find that on Google, they have a list of them, and there'll be one large website that will say the top 10 agencies in Cape Town. You click through to that, you land on the website, and you find, oh, okay, cool. Some of these agencies are actually advertising on this. And that's where you start seeing, okay, I'm seeing this guy advertising on search engines. I'm seeing them also on these big industry websites.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are extremely serious. The last one that's there, I actually put it up because we all download apps on our mobile phones, and all the apps are free. But they always have these ads. Some people get frustrated about the ads. and I always say to some of my friends, I think I have a soft spot for small businesses, But I always say to them, but the app is free. Allow the people to at least advertise to you, you know, or pay for the app if you don't want the free advertising. But in-app advertising is one of the biggest growing channels for advertising for small businesses as well. It's called a display network. And you create an advert, you create web banner ads, and depending on which websites your brand relates to, your ad will be served on those websites, or they'll be served on an application that relates to your brand or relates to the customer that your brand is looking for.
Okay.
Cool. Are you still with me?
I'm with you. Cool? I'm with you.
Sure, cool. So we're going to move to the next section, which is how do the products compare to yours? Now, that's also quite important because we are all in an environment that we're trying to sell a specific product. A customer will only buy a product that fulfills their needs. As long as the benefits is there, I'll buy it. Everything else in between that is all just hogwash, to be honest with you. So what's very important is that you need to know how the customer's your competitor's product is fulfilling the benefits of the user. So the only way you can do that is, again, if you go to a industry-related website. Again, I'm going to stick with the example of a marketing agency in Cape Town. And you just read through on some of the reviews. What's quite cool about these industry-related websites is that they will review a marketing agency. If it's a law firm, it'll be a law firm. If it's shoes or sneakers or whatever it is, but you'll get reviews. That's where you start. You have to put a pen and paper down and sit down and be like, okay, cool. What are these people saying about my competitors? Where are they good? Where are they not so good? All the elements, if it's a marketing agency again, how are they doing when it comes to design? How are they good when it comes to social media? Start looking at the points and start seeing what the industry leaders are saying about your own competitors. Take that information in and keep it to yourself so that you can actually utilize it for your own business.
Goodness, and that's interesting because I remember in the old days, pricing was always a war and an issue because you'd never know how does my direct product pricing compare to that of my competitors.
Sure.
But these days, pricing is no longer the issue. It's probably the benefits, as you said.
That's actually true. And funny enough, we are going to move on to pricing.
Oh, okay.
Nice segue there. So the pricing, again, as we all know, pricing is a very sensitive topic. And not just as a user, but also as the business owner. So if I'm a customer and I am searching around, the best part about digital marketing is that now I can actually look from just sitting at home, open up my laptop, I can look at four or five different products at the same time. Then I think to myself, well, okay, cool. These four products actually will fulfill my needs. So what else can I use to actually separate them? Well, the one best thing to use is price for some other people because price is sensitive.
Yeah.
Things are tough at the moment, so we all have to look at our prices away. So as a business owner, it's very important for you then to start thinking to yourself, how can I differentiate myself from my competitor, right? But in order for you to do that, you need to know what your competitor is charging. Am I over the price? Am I under the price? Am I providing too much? Am I providing too many features but not charging enough?
Mm.
And by just going to your competitor's website and you just look at how much they charge, you need to literally just act as a customer. Get an inquiry, get a quote, find out how much a product costs, go through the whole buying cycle, maybe not up until you buy it, but go through the whole buying cycle and actually find out how much that whole process is taking them, how much does it cost. Is it the same price as mine? Do I need to increase it? Do I need to lower it? Do I need to match it? One of my customers, just to use an example, one of my clients that we've been working with, she has an online store and she sells traditionally made clothing. And we used to find that she has a massive drop-off rate when it comes to the checkouts. So the guy will come through, look at the items, because you can follow all of that using the analytics for websites. Guy will come through, click on the website, go through everything, and then when they get to the pay points, it drops off. And we're thinking, but what's the difference? Not all of them, but there was a big drop off going forward. So I was like, okay, cool. Let's see what some other guys similar to yours, again, using traditional bespoke creations, what are they offering that we might not be? And price is one of the things that you looked at, obviously, as competitors. We went through the same things that I've explained to you. We went through the products, what people are saying about them. And then when we got to the checkout, she was only offering credit card purchases, whereas two of our competitors were offering cash on delivery as well as a payment plan, a different payment plan. And I was like, well, you know, that's actually quite interesting. So two of the competitors are doing something that we're not doing. Let's actually try and use that to our advantage and see if it'll work. We added the 30-day payment plan, and we also added cash on delivery. We started seeing a spike coming through on the checkouts. Now people are actually purchasing it, because some people might not be happy with making a credit card purchase. Some people might not have credit cards, and others might want to have a 30-day payment plan. So, and exactly that's how it ended up working out. And we started seeing a bit more sales coming through for it because we had what our competitor was using.
Yeah, and look at the power of analytics there, of showing exactly where the drop-off was for with closing a deal. Very, very interesting.
Exactly. And as you were saying, the whole point, again, as well, go back to my first point of tracking, having that ability to track where your business is falling off. In the past, we didn't have that opportunity. You would think to yourself, well, maybe it's the quality of the clothes, or maybe it's the marketing. But in actual fact, it could have been something as small as what payment structure are you using to get people to pay?
Power of analytics, man.
That's true. So the last, and I said, look, I'll take you through 5 points. And the last one, which for me, a lot of small business owners are in denial. Look, when you start a business, when you're an entrepreneur, your products, your service or whatever, your app or whatever it is that you have is the best in the world. Mentally, you're telling yourself nothing can come can beat this. This is it. This is the new thing that's going to revolutionize the world, and it's better than my competitors. Well, slow down a bit. Take a deep breath and just go and see what are people actually saying about your competitors' products. What I normally say to the guys is that go to their social media accounts, where you actually see quite a lot of reviews and comments on someone's products is social media. So if you go to a specific brand, a competitor of yours, and actually look at their social media accounts, and just scroll through and just see what other people are saying about purchases that they made, what are they saying about the customer service, what are they saying about the type of product it is, and just go through the reviews. Also on the websites or websites that your competitor's products might be sold, or there are a lot of e-commerce stores out there that sell a lot of products, and most of them would have a review or even prompt people to review a lot of the products. That's where you sit down and actually look. Look at all the positives that people are saying, and you make sure that your business has that, number one. You make sure that your business has all those positives, you use that. The stuff that's not positive, remove it from your business as well. Do not replicate something that you've seen that people say, well, I don't like this product because of this, or I don't like this product because of that. And utilize all the positives, because chances are that's your competitor's competitive advantage. And if you have that molded to fit your business, there's a greater chance that you'll be more successful.
Okay, so at least we know if there are reviews coming in that are not good, we can take them off, right? And hide them.
So,
or can't we?
So I think hiding them is actually, I don't want to say negative, but deal with it first. Okay, if you get a negative review, go back to the person and actually be like, okay, what was the issue? Because most of the time you find that it was a miscommunication or something small, or maybe it's your competitor just playing nasty, but you know, go back and actually find it. I personally, again, and this is just me having the experience, I don't trust products that just have positive reviews. What, there's no 2 stars, there's no 3 stars, it's all just 5 stars, 5 stars, 5. Maybe I'm just cynical, but I find it hard to believe that.
So you're saying when it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true.
It probably is too good to be true. So you need to find a bit of a middle, a few negatives here and there, so that you can weigh up your options. The whole point of the review system, and what I'm quite happy about is that a lot of platforms have become smart enough to actually start understanding, okay, this could be a competitor, or this might not be based. So a lot of it goes through a review system before it actually appears on a website. And what's very good about it is that it's genuinely true, most of the reviews that you see, especially when it comes from a website that's very authentic. You'll find that the reviews that are there are quite true, and it's something that you can take to heart. I use reviews myself to make purchases online. Most of my clients that I speak to, I tell them, even if it's one person that has bought your product, just that one person, having that review on your website well, if it's positive, that is. But having that review on your website will do the world of good for you, because if I don't know who this person is, I've never heard of them, and I'm about to part with my hard-earned money to purchase a product, at least somebody else must have gone through that same process so that I can understand it's very possible.
So can we use a review as a testimonial?
That's correct. I normally, again, use reviews as testimonials, where I would ask if a client is not willing to provide, you know, the whole spiel, I've used this product, take a picture with them smiling or happy, then a review is as good as a testimonial. You need to have on your social media accounts, on your websites, you need to show what people are saying about your product. Again, it might not all be good, it might not all be a positive, but it's very important for you to have it out there. Because if I'm about to make a purchase on your website and I'm not seeing anything, you know, I'm not seeing trust symbols, I'm not seeing previous customers' experiences with your products, I might start thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm not too sure. I'd rather go to somebody else that has actually gone through the experience of buying from you. This is your traditional form of word of mouth, a review. I could buy something from a website that I've never even heard of, which I have done. I'm a sports fan, and I buy a lot of soccer replica tops from around the world. I don't support all the teams, but I just like having different replica tops from different regions from around the world. I don't know, it's just a passion that I have, or I think it has to do with the beer as well. And I use different websites, because some guys might not have you know, teams from South America, some guys might not have teams from North America, so I have to go to find a website in America. And I get to this website, then I start comparing prices, I start finding out what's going on, then okay, cool, I found two or three possible websites. And then what do? So I then go back, I'm like, fine. I type in the name of the website or the name of the company, and I just put it next to it, review, hit search, and then I see what other people have said about this website. If it's positive, it's positive. If it's negative, it's negative. Was it delivered in time? Did it actually get there? And then I start finding out, and then I start doing my own research. That's what people are doing to your business as well. That's how business are reviewing. That's how clients are reviewing your business. They're actually sitting back and thinking to themselves, well, I've got the power of the internet. I can choose between 4 to 5 different clients or customers. Why should I use your business? And then they'll sit back and be like, fine, let me go through the whole process. See where you fit into that model. That's why also as a business, you need to Google your business. See what your business is actually getting up to. What are the people saying about your business? What are they saying on social media about you? Are you getting positive reviews on other websites that might not be your own websites? As well, start seeing where you sit, because people might not go directly to your website first to buy from you. They might go to an industry-related website, or they might go to a blogger that speaks about your products. A blogger could have bought your products and has reviewed it, and you don't even know about it, and it's sitting somewhere, and it could be all negative. That's something that you might need to solve. So it's very important for you to also know what people are saying about your business.
Very, very good point. So This is a mouthful. We've bought into why digital is important. Sure. We can see how the logic flows in doing a competitor analysis online. So before we move on to all the next sections where we dissect some more of the digital themes and the digital particles that form part of this whole digital media package, if I so call it, please give us some closing thoughts on these two topics we covered.
Okay, cool. First and foremost, I think what's very important, and a lot of people tend to miss it, is that the internet is a very powerful tool for small business owners. Again, I'm a business owner myself, and I've worked with a number of small business owners. It is very important for you to find tools that can help your business grow. For me, number one is the internet.
Okay.
You need to have a basic understanding also of how the internet works and how you can utilize that power of the internet to actually get your business to grow. You might not be doing it yourself, because some small businesses will come to me as a consultant and be like, hey, listen, guy, I don't want anything to do with this. I just want to focus on running my business. That's fine. But if you're coming to me without any knowledge at all, you're also putting yourself at risk, because I'll just keep feeding you information and you just be nodding because you have no idea what I'm talking about. So arm yourself with the basic understanding, at least, on how digital marketing works, so that even if you're not doing it yourself and you're outsourcing it, at least you know what's going on. Secondly, you need to use the internet wisely to market your business. As I was saying to you, you know, guys are reviewing, there might be reviews, or you might be searching hashtags and using that, but you need to understand how it works and then start using that as a means of marketing your business out there. Thirdly, and most importantly for me, is your competitor analysis.
Yep.
Go out there, do your research on your competitors. I don't care what you say, but you need to know your competitor better than you know your own business.
Sure, that is a mouthful. You can see that this guy isn't called a digital coach for nothing. So he's given us some recommended reading. Sure. I can put forward Marketing 4.0, sure. Moving from Traditional to Digital by sure. Philip Kotler. And those other names, you'll see they're way too difficult to pronounce. And then Content Incorporated by Joe Pulizzi.
Pulizzi?
Okay, yeah. Thanks for that. And then the Social Media Bible by Lon Safko. So yes, if that is some good starting places to start off if you want to do some more reading. We won't be leaving you here. We've got a lot of more little topics and short video clips that we'll be doing on other parts of the digital marketing platform. Don't leave us now. Thank you for making time on the digital space. Till next time. Thank you.
Cheers.